Turn in your copy of the scripture to the Revelation. While you're turning there, let me just give you some disclaimers. If you have been looking forward to sermons on the Revelation to find out what kind of spaceships are coming and what kind of guns are going to be fired and those kind of things, you'll probably be disappointed. Because we're going to try to stick with what the scripture says. And we will interpret it literally, and of course, literally doesn't mean that we will take each word as if it, as it's used in everyday language. We will interpret as if it is literature by the type of literature that it is, and it is apocalyptic. It is a prophecy. So we'll look at the images that are presented here. And as we go through Revelation, if you really want to prepare for it, the thing to do would be to read all the books up to it. Because the Revelation doesn't ever quote exactly Old Testament, but hundreds of times, it makes references to Old Testament prophecies. And so if you want to be really prepared for Revelation, you ought to have everything to the left of it. In your library there. All right, and another thing, so that you just understand that there are two things that I think are very important in your understanding how I'm going to present this. One of them is the idea of the pre-tribulation rapture. I want you to understand that is particularly American. That in Europe, it's not expected. In China, it is not expected. In Cuba, among Cuban Christians, it is not expected. Among West African Christians, it is not expected. And matter of fact, those Christians who are being persecuted are insulted by the idea that we Americans say everything's going to be comfortable for us and we won't have to go through that kind of trouble. I would submit to you that you really have to have faith to nail that down specifically. We'll look at it in both ways, but I am prepared to go through the tribulation. And I don't just mean I'm prepared in my mind to go through the tribulation. When I came to Jesus Christ, He gave me everything that I need to go through the tribulation. Now, there's one other thing that often comes up as a proof or along with that idea of the church being taken away secretly before the second coming of Christ, the coming in the air being separate, and that is that the Holy Spirit is taken out. Well, y'all, I have to show you a scripture right quick left of Revelation before we get started, just so that you'll know where I stand on that. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3 goes like this. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And since we're going to see that people are saved during the things that are revealed here in the Revelation, since we know that people are going to be saved during the tribulation, I guarantee the Holy Spirit cannot be gone. Because nobody can say that Jesus is Lord except the Holy Spirit prompts him. So just kind of get those things down, and we'll travel on from there. Now the Revelation, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. So for the audience that first heard these letters or the letter of the Revelation carried around, we're going to hear some churches mentioned. And if you might look at those on a map and see where they are and understand that this message is revealed for the servants of the Lord. And we'll talk about that a little bit. But they were people who were going through persecution. They were people who were going through tough times. And so for them, it was a message of comfort that God is in control, that God knows what's going on, that nothing is going to get past him, and he's going to take care of everything, that we win in the end. Now for us, up until just the last few months, we were probably so comfortable that we needed to look at the revelation so that we would get a little bit stirred up and a little bit worried. But since God has given us the benefit of some of the craziness in our world, we now will benefit from looking at the revelation, because although we're not under that physical persecution like the letters or like the churches that were reading it or hearing it in the time closest to when it was revealed, we now understand some things that are some potential that's around us. And so we will understand that it's a message, a reminder that God is who he is, and that he has what he's done in Jesus Christ. And the revelation was given and written down so that those who serve Jesus can know what will take place and be able to enjoy and worship God in the knowledge of how history will be consummated in the justice and mercy of God. The revelation of Jesus Christ is what we are looking at, not a record of the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the real thing. This is authentic. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him, it was given by God the Father to Jesus Christ. And it was given by God the Father to Jesus Christ to show the servants of God, to show the servants of God some things that were going to happen so that they wouldn't be surprised, they wouldn't be taken by surprise when they came. They were shown to and given to Jesus Christ. It was of the revelation of Christ given to Christ to show the servants, and then it was made known by an angel, by a messenger, to one of those servants who was John. And then John shared it with us as well as others in his day. It is a revelation of the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see him, we'll see him in several significant ways that we need to keep in mind. He is revealed, Jesus is revealed. He is revealed as the Messiah of Israel. He is revealed as the Lord of the church. He is revealed as the judge of the world. And we have to watch that relationship, those relationships of Jesus, or how Jesus relates to Israel, to the church, and to the world, okay, as we go along. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is also the revelation by Jesus Christ. And it is the revelation of God's plan accomplished through Jesus Christ and brought to light by Jesus Christ. Y'all remember when we were in Hebrews? You can leaf back to the left a little bit, or I'll just read it for you. Hebrews chapter 1. I'm not a very good leafer. Hebrews 1:1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed, the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. And it goes on to tell us who Jesus is, that he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. And after making purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Right? So it is that revelation of Jesus and how Jesus brought things to light, or how things are brought to light through Jesus. Okay? It is a revelation to Jesus. You see that? Let me get back to Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him. God gave this revelation to Jesus Christ. Now, why or what could there be that Jesus did not already know? Jesus being God in the flesh. Jesus is 100% God while he is 100% man. So what kind of revelation could the Father give to the Son that he didn't already have? Well, I'm not sure. But I do know that there are some references in the Gospels where people ask Jesus, when are these things going to happen? When are you coming back? When is everything going to be wrapped up? When is that the temple going to be destroyed? When are things going to change? And he's asked that in Matthew 24:36. He's asked that it's accounted of that in Mark 13:32. And what was his answer? He said, nobody knows. Not the angels, not even the Son. Now, how could he not know and be God? Well, because he was God, but he was also man. And so he had limited himself, and Jesus was 100% man. We need to keep that in mind. Because when we meet him in heaven, when you meet him in heaven, you're going to see him still with a body. And you're going to see that body that is scarred as it was scarred when he hung on the cross. And so because he had limited himself here on earth, he didn't know the Father's timing. Now he is seated at the right hand of the Father in glory. He is ready to receive that knowledge, I guess you could say. And so perhaps that's what it's talking about when it says that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave him. That's a reminder of what extent the Son, the second person of the Godhead, went to provide our salvation. It is a reminder of the extent to which the Father went to provide for our salvation. That Jesus would take on flesh. That Jesus would lay down that sinless flesh body to pay for our sin. And so it's that revelation of Jesus. It is that revelation to Jesus, who is now raised, who is now seated on the throne, and has given full revelation even of himself. Isn't that something? Revelation is, the Greek word is apocalypsis. And so it is, and that word means to unveil. And it's used in the New Testament in several places. One of them is back in Luke chapter 2 and verse 32, when Jesus is taken to the temple for the first time, and there was a faithful old man there who was waiting for a message from God, the revelation of the Messiah. And when they came in, his name was Simeon, and he took Jesus in his arms and he said, this is it. This is the one who will be a light to lighten the Gentiles. That is the word apocalypsis. It means an unveiling. It means a shining the light so that things can be seen. It's shining forth, all right, an unveiling of God and the things of God. Of course, the whole Bible is revelation, but this is a particular and specific revelation. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. It's an unveiling. And it is an unveiling for some people. It is an unveiling of Jesus to himself, for himself, and to show to his servants. That is the word doulos. And it's a word for slave, but it's not just a regular slave. It's a special kind of slave. And the doulos is described in Deuteronomy. Get the scripture right, because sometimes I give some scripture references that are not precise. And this is a scripture that's kind of special to me, because it talks about a pierced ear, and I have one earlobe pierced. And what the scripture here is about is that when a slave, one who has sold himself into slavery or has been hired, kind of given a slavery for a period of time, an indentured servant, when he has served his time and he has come for him to be turned loose, set free, verse 16 of Deuteronomy 15:16 says, if he says to you, I will not go out from you because he loves you and your household, since he is well off with you, then you shall take an awl and put it through his ear into the door, and he shall be your slave forever. Well, that's pretty, you know, that scripture address is pretty easy to remember. It's 15:16, but one time I gave it not in Deuteronomy, but in Leviticus, and I think it was 19:18, and I went there to read it, and it said something like, "You shall not discover a man's nakedness," or something. And so I'm pretty careful. I tried to check my references before I call them out. I don't always get it right, but it is to the doulos. It is to the servant, the dedicated servant, the sold out servant, is the one who is to hear this message. And sometimes we may have trouble with it because it is a message for the sold out servant, and we are not functioning as sold out servants to God and Jesus, to the Godhead. And it is this message to these servants about Jesus, of who he is, what he is doing, what he's going to do. And it is in reference to the things, the way that ESV has it, to the things that must soon take place. Now, there's another, and the reason that I thought it was really important to look at this at this time is because when we look at that and we say the things that are soon to take place, and this was written when? Over 2,000 years ago now, I think, somewhere in that neighborhood. That's not soon, you know. Even if I say I'm going to get to that soon, it's not even that kind of soon. But there's another way of looking at that word that's normally translated soon. For the ones who were going through the tribulation at that time, the ones who were going through the persecution, they needed to know that relief was on the way. But there's another way of interpreting that word that's translated here soon, and that is, it can be translated like this: so that his servants will know the things that must suddenly take place. And when I have seen what has occurred in our country and in the world in just the last 6 months, suddenly people have quit going to work. Suddenly people have decided it's dangerous to go to church. Suddenly there are even states that say it is illegal for people to gather in a church. That happened suddenly. It happened soon here too. And so the message here is not just about what was going to happen back then, or that he missed his timetable, but it is because the things that are going to take place are going to commence suddenly when people are not expecting it. That word that's translated suddenly is used in Acts 12:7, when Peter was in prison and an angel came to him and he said, "Get up quickly and go out." So this is things that are going to happen quickly, you could say, or suddenly. Things that will happen for us now, they seem to be happening soon. And they are for, they're unveiled to the doulos. So some people have trouble understanding it because they're not yielded, perhaps. Another thing, another reason that it may be kind of hard to understand is because it is the revelation of, and I'm saying relatively hard to understand. Well, for some it is very difficult to understand because it is written to those who are sold out, and it is the revelation of God the Father to God the Son. So this is God talk. They just let us in on it. Or he just lets us in on it. Okay. So we have the privilege of listening in on what God has to say to his Son. We have the privilege of listening in on what God has to say to us about his Son. And it is delivered to us by Jesus, by an angel to John, and then John to us. He bore witness. John bore witness to the Word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. It's in a good place, the book of Revelation. It is at the back of the Bible. It is at the end of the canon. And it is kind of the wrapping up of what was first mentioned in Genesis. Genesis is the beginning of human sin. It is the beginning of human civilization. In Genesis, it tells us about the beginning of God's judgment on mankind. In Revelation, we'll see the end of human sin. We'll see the end of human civilization. We'll see the end of God's judgment. The culmination of God's judgment. Again, like I say, the whole Bible is revelation. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is God-breathed. And in 2 Peter 1:21, it says that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So there's no private interpretation. And so all the Bible is revelation, but this is a particular revelation. This is the last book of the Bible. It's a special unveiling with a special blessing. It says, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written, for the time is near. So there's a special blessing. Some people fear to wade off into Revelation. It's going to be too difficult. But let me ask you this. Would God go through all this much of the Bible and make it perfectly clear to us, and then get down to the end where he's going to tell us, he's going to comfort us, and he's going to prepare us for the end, and he's going to reveal his glory and in his judgment, and make that difficult for us to understand? It is understandable. We just need to make the effort to look into it and pay attention to it, and we'll understand what he has to say to us. And we get a special blessing along with it. All right. And we find the answer to all the problems on earth. That's all right here. Okay. A purpose for the book, for those who first read it and first heard it, and a purpose for us who are now hearing it and now reading it. It's a kind of a course adjustment. You know, it got pilots here. Don't you set your what do you call the thing which you look for directions with? Compass. Don't you set your compass? Who doesn't know that word? Old people. You set your compass sometime. You have true north. You have magnetic north. You correct. You make sure that all your instruments are accurate when you take off. And it's because your course needs correcting. Sometimes your instruments need correcting. And that's what Revelation ought to do for us. It ought to make things real. It ought to put us on the true course that God has for us, the true standards of God, and make sure that we are headed in the right direction. so that we'll have the strength for what's ahead. The strength to deal with the conflicts that are ahead. So that there will not be any fear as this age advances. Now, there is fear all around us because of the virus situation. There's fear around us because of the economy situation, because of the virus situation. There's fear all around us because there's all kind of meanness going on, and people don't want to hurt somebody's feelings or insult somebody, and so they just let them get away with it. And so there's all kinds of things out there that make people afraid today. But what the revelation will do for us is it will prevent us from being overwhelmed by those fears. As we advance, we will be reminded, we will be assured of God's control over everything, and we will be assured of God's righteous judgment. We will be refreshed in the good news, in the gospel, that there is salvation in the finished work of Jesus Christ for those who will accept it. Even today, even in this age, when the church is not popular, when Christianity is not popular, and when people say, well, that's mythological, that doesn't apply today, when nobody in movies or, you know, in popular movies or television series generally do not take Christianity seriously. But this book will remind us, this revelation will remind us that God's gospel is still effective, that people are still going to be saved. Even as we look into it, we see that there are those who have their heads cut off under the threat of, if you confess Jesus Christ, we'll cut your head off, and we find them with their heads cut off, but they're still alive. So the revelation is going to encourage us, it's going to refresh us, and let us know that there's nobody who will hear the gospel and who will reach out to Jesus Christ who will not be saved. It'll be a reminder that God has a place in His plan for you and for me, for each of us. We're going to find in here, we're going to find ourselves the place that God has for us as we continue through these last days. We're going to be reminded that there's no need to be surprised. Look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is a verse that you ought to have marked. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 4. It says, you got it? You are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. And so let's not sleep as others do, but let's keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Verse 9, for God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with Him. That's what Revelation is reminding us of. The fact that we are not losers. We win. We are people of the light. When there's darkness all around us, it's not going to consume us. It's not going to hide God's truth from us. And it won't hide us from the world who needs to see us. Because we are children of the light. There's no surprise coming. And as we are correcting our course, we will remember to celebrate Jesus, who is currently risen and is reigning as King of everything. It's not something that is down the road and he's going to one day reign. He is now reigning. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Everybody hasn't recognized it yet, but they're going to. And we're going to see that in here. We're going to be reminded of that. And so we ought to live as if the one that we serve and the one who has saved us is reigning, risen King. It ought, as we're adjusting our course, we ought to be aware. We ought to be understand the call on our lives to praise God. You see, what people saw in the time that Revelation was first written, what people saw in the times of the churches that we'll look at in the next few weeks, is that those who had put their trust in Christ and those who were being persecuted were not acting like persecuted people. Persecuted people normally feel that they're being persecuted, and they act like it. But the people that folks who heard this message, and the folks that this message was delivered to, a lot of them were under persecution, but they were feeling that God had blessed them and living like God had blessed them. See, that second part is most important, because it says, look, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and those who keep what is written in it. And so those who were being persecuted and were not acting persecuted, not because they didn't, it wasn't a feeling thing, it was a truth thing. They were operating by truth. And so they were announcing, they were living as if God had blessed them and was blessing them. And when people saw that, they said, that is not normal. See, the saddest thing that could be said about a church is that we're just normal folks. Have you ever done that? You know, you can come to our church. We're just normal folks. Well, I have news for y'all. Even if you weren't Christians, most of y'all are not normal anyway. But those of us who've come to Christ, we're not normal. We are saved. We are so loved that God would give his only begotten son. We are so loved that God in the flesh would lay down his life for us. We are so loved that he has blessed us and he has promised us that we're not people in the dark. We're not going to be consumed by the dark. We're not even going to be hidden by the dark. We are people of light. We are not normal, and we are blessed, and he is working in us, and he has a promise for us, and he has life in us that is abundant now, not in the future. We have eternal life that began before the foundation of the world. We're not waiting for that. We're not normal. And the churches who received this letter needed to know how God had blessed them, needed to be reminded of how God had blessed them. They needed to remind one another. They needed to know, like we do, we need to know that God has blessed us. They needed to know, be reminded that they should praise God. We need to be reminded that we should praise God. They weren't influential. They weren't wealthy. They weren't even healthy. But they were still blessed of God, and they had every reason to praise God. We need to know why we should praise God, and we should praise him because he is God. Because he has sent his son, not just as he sent his son into the world, but he has sent, for most of us, he sent his son into our heart and helped us understand our need of a savior, and then see him lifted up on that cross, dying for our sin, and buried and raised in victory, and willing to save all that would come to him. We have every reason to praise him. We need to have the correct expectation, and we can expect to be blessed by the reading, and blessed by the hearing, and blessed by keeping what is written. To understand that we are blessed by God, that we are so loved that He gave His only begotten Son for us, is better than avoiding persecution. That doesn't make sense. But God's Spirit can make that true to our hearts. The Word of God can make that true to our hearts. And as we read through Revelation, as we work our way through it, that's one thing that God's going to work into our lives. Life after life, for those who belong to Jesus, will be superior to all the pleasures and comforts of this present world separated from God by sin. There is something better to live for than this world. God promised us, Jesus promised us, abundant life. And He's going to carry us through whatever comes. He's going to carry you through whatever comes your way. The revelation of Jesus, the one revelation. I talked to a friend yesterday who was asking me something else about Bible study, a good source of Bible studies, and I told him we were going to start Revelation. He said something about he was afraid to do that. And he said some people had asked him to teach on Revelation, but he just didn't feel qualified. Well, you're qualified if you can read it and listen to the Spirit talk to you. But I said, well, that was probably a good idea, because sometimes we want to pull out little sections and make them say things that they don't say. And there's only one revelation, and it is the whole revelation. So all of this is going to fit together in letting us know what God is doing and what He's going to do, and how we are a part of it, and how we are blessed to be His. Now, if you are not one of His, if there's never been a time when you have understood your need of a Savior and have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is not going to be good news for you. Matter of fact, nothing is going to be good news for you apart from this. Jesus loved you so much that He gave His life for you. He shed His blood to pay for your sin. And He is willing to save you if you would just trust that. If you would take Him at His word. If you would confess that He is Lord and He is the Savior. And that He is willing to save you. If you'll believe that in your heart. And it says if we would believe it in our heart and confess it with our mouth that He is raised from the dead, then we will be saved. Okay? You can be saved this morning. Whether you're here with us or whether you're watching on the internet, you can be saved if you would put your trust in Jesus Christ and express it. He says express it with your mouth so that He hears you. He knows what's in your heart anyway. But I think more than that, so that you will hear you say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. I believe that He will save me. And I turn my life over to Him. Lord, glorify Yourself in me. Save me. And I thank You for it in Jesus' name.